Hello, my name is Daniel Moth. This screencast recording is one part of a four-part screencast series that accompanies the MSDN Magazine article that I wrote introducing C++ AMP. I hope you like it. So in order to use the C++ AMP library, we're going to have to bring in the header file. And also what I did is I used the namespace concurrency just to save me some typing further down. And what we're going to do is now just use here ArrayView, which is one of the types in C++ AMP. So let's go and introduce that. Okay, so what we've got is we're using ArrayView to wrap over the vector data. So ArrayView is like a smart pointer, it's a wrapper of data. You can think of it as an alias to the original object that it wraps or points to. So with the changes that I've made in this code now, no change has taken place really. So this is exactly the same effects that this code will have. Still runs serially on the CPU producing the same identical results. So what you must do with the array view is you must tell it via the template parameter what type it is that it's going to be that the container is going to be pointing to wraps. Then in the second argument to the constructor, you pass it the container that it's going to be wrapping over, that it's pointing to. And then as the first argument to the constructor, you pass in the size of the container that that it wraps. I can also index into the array view via the subscript operator, as I did over here. So I replaced my original references to V, A, B, and C with A, B, and C. And I can use here the subscript operator, or I can actually switch to be using the function operator, which by convention, both of them work. But by convention, we actually prefer when we pass an integer for indexing with array view to be using the function operator. So I'm just going to switch to that. And then the other thing that the array view can take as a template argument, the second and last one, is the dimensionality of the data that it wraps. So in this case, we're working, let's say, first as a single dimensional data, so I can go and put those ones in there. Previously, they were just, when I didn't have that, it still worked, because the default is to be in a single dimensional space. The other object I want to introduce is extent, again from the concurrency namespace. So here again you can have a multi-dimensional extent, so I'm going to say that here that we have single dimensional, and I'm going to go and specify the size. And by doing that, that means that now I don't have to repeat that M and N everywhere, I can just go in here and say E. Okay, so at this point, you can see how extent represents a multidimensional size. You can see how ArrayView wraps over the data, but really we're using this gratuitously. So there's no value add by bringing these types in up to this point. So let's go and bring the value add that these multidimensional types bring. And as you expect, that's that they allow us to work with multidimensional data in a more natural way. So let me make a couple of changes here, and you'll see what I mean. So you see that by saying, look, I'm actually going to work with two-dimensional data, so I'm changing the extent to be a two-dimensional by changing that template argument there. And then I'm actually saying, look, it's m, n, so m rows and n columns. And then my array view still keeps the same extent over here. So and I've changed the array view to say it's also two-dimensional to match the extent. Otherwise, I'd get a compiler error, still wrapping over the same data. And then down here, we can go and change this so that instead of repeating the M and N, I mean, that's what we're trying to avoid. We want to encapsulate these ones. I can go and access them like so. So the M and N are encapsulated in there. And then when we get to the indexing, it's now really two-dimensional indexing that we want to do here. And it becomes much, much, much cleaner. So we basically say I, J. So I'm going here and accessing row and column for each object. And you see how with the two-dimensional data, we don't have to explain or devise that fine arithmetic, so it's all much simpler. Now, if the array view was a three-dimensional object, so I'd have a three-dimensional extent, three-dimensional array view, and then here the function operator for indexing would expect a third integer. But of course, you know, we have the multidimensional size, we have the multidimensional wrapper over any container, we also have a multidimensional index. So typically those will be passed to you by the system, but as I'm introducing this in this manner, I'm going to have to go and create them myself. So let me show you this index object that I'm talking about. And there you have it. So here I'm introducing this index object. So it's two-dimensional. It could be any dimension, and that's why I'm passing two integers. And then I don't have to use the I and j. I have the actual index that's going to wrap for both components of the indexing, and you can see that I'm using it like so. Now, the advantage, of course, of having a multi-dimensional object encapsulated in an index is that when you're using it like this on this line, you don't have to break it down. So really, what I can go here and do is this. And you can see how now much more natural this indexing is. Even though it's multidimensional data and multidimensional indexing, it looks nice and clean. And even though this works, I could run this, it would still work the same way. By convention, again, when we are passing index objects for indexing into ArrayViews, we prefer to use the subscript operator. So let me make that change here because I'm pedantic like that. Okay, and now with these changes in place, the original algorithm, you saw what it did when it ran, and this does exactly the same thing. Remember, we're not running on the GPU. This is still serial CPU code. I'm just showing you a few multidimensional types and how they make our code work better when you're designing and working with multidimensional data. So just like before, VC starts with zeros, and just like before, when I step over, we actually go and see that it has exactly the same number, which matches the size across the board. So we've changed nothing in functionality here. All we've done is we've made it work with multidimensional data. So let's go back to our algorithm now. I want you to explore these on your own. So index and extend, you can see they have kind of the similar interface, except that represents multidimensional size. This guy represents a multidimensional point. And you can see here that you have this various operator overloading that we've done, so you can perform operations on index objects and extend objects the same, and also in between them, in fact, you can perform operations. Other things to notice, just go and use IntelliSense and explore this. The thing like the rank, so you can go and actually get to the rank of an index, and extend has the same thing. In addition, if you look at extend, you'll find that it has a contains method where you can give it an index, and it can tell you whether that is part of the space that it represents, so that can come in handy. It also has a size function that you can call, and that will return the overall size, so in this case m times n. So yeah, to go and explore via IntelliSense these three types that I introduced to you to see what else they have to offer. You know, if you look at ArrayView, there's a whole bunch of methods here. So you can go and do things like reinterpret as to change the type that it's using. You can use you can change the rank by doing a view as, so you can change the rank of the data. You can go and take sections, so you can create new ArrayViews from an existing ArrayView operating only on parts of the data. So really go and explore these types with extent, index, and ArrayView. It's not anything about C++ ARM specific to accelerators such as the GPU. It's just a rich multidimensional API for making it easier to work with multidimensional data. However, the main purpose of introducing these with C++ AMP was to make it easier to offload computations to an accelerator like the GPU. So that's what we're going to see next. How can we evolve this further in order to take advantage of the GPU? Thank you very much for watching. Please ensure that you have watched all four parts in the screencast series to get the full benefit. If you have questions, feel free to contact me so I can point you to our MSDN forum named Parallel Computing in C++ and Native Code. Thanks.